anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anemone.
I am an anomaly.
A-S-O.
I am an anomaly.
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 An anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Well, that would explain why it's so stinking hot in my house. Okay, guys, so we're sitting in my car outside of the Alamo Draft House in a city that will remain un...
I think everyone's figured it out.
I don't know about that.
Did you know that one of the Waffle On guys is in Texas right now and didn't tell us?
Kel, I know.
I know.
Well, they did tell us. You just don't read your newsletters from Waffle On or anyone else.
I'm really busy.
I know, me too. We hope you enjoyed your time in Austin, Kel.
Anyway, so you just went and saw Solo. You had already seen
Solo,
it.
Solo, A Star Wars Story. I have seen it once before, just a few days ago.
Right.
On opening, I guess it was Friday. So I was kind of sad that there were only like 15 people in the whole theater, including us.
And when you went?
At 6 p.m.
Oh.
On a Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. And tonight it was kind of, it was not
Yeah, problem. But it's Memorial Day weekend, it's Monday, and everybody's traveling right now.
That's true. But I just want to say, this is the non-spoiler part. I loved it.
I thought it was a great movie, but it's, like, just to clarify, though, all the other ones we've watched, we've had super high expectations going in, and then it was sort of, you know, then we were either excited or meh or whatever. And I feel like this is exactly the opposite, that, like, all of us were so worried because of the press it was getting that it was going to be terrible. And so it's hard to compare because we were so worried it was going to be terrible that, like, since it hit, like, it was good, that I was so relieved it was good that I was like, yay!
I know.
Yay! They didn't screw it up!
So go see it. Go see it.
Yes,
because
it is so enjoyable.
Worth it. It is worth it. And we'll be honest and tell you, we are very honest people, and we usually say when things suck.
Of course. And yeah, of course, we would tell you if it sucked. But also, we tend to be the most excited right after a show.
Yes, that's true.
And it's not like I want to tear it apart or anything like that. I thought it was really good, but you have to admit, we were going in slightly different.
Yeah, but
than we did from
the
other
difference
shows.
The difference this time is that I have seen it once before, and it's been a few
for you,
days.
Yes.
So I've had time to digest it, and
okay.
I still like it. I
would
like
recommend it. And
yeah.
I would honestly recommend it even for people who've never watched one Star Wars movie. I think it would be a good introduction to the series.
Yeah.
Because I think in a way Rogue One is like too intense for non-Star Wars people. Don't you think? Like, it's too... You have to know... Like, I think it's better to watch Rogue One if you've already seen New Hope.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. I think that you're more invested. I know you're
true.
Not a fan of Rogue One,
no,
as I am.
No, I like the movie. It's just not one...
But
it's not one that I can
think,
rewatch because it's so depressing.
Oh,
but,
really? Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But I feel like Rogue One is like a nice... added bonus to Star Wars, whereas I think that honestly if Solo could function on its own.
It can. It's a standalone.
Yeah.
And let me just say, the guy plays Lando Calrissian.
Oh my gosh.
He's
gotten
awesome.
A lot of press recently because of his music video. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, but he did a great job as Lando. And the guy that, I'm sorry, I don't know any of the people's
his
names.
His name's Donald Glover.
And the guy that plays Han Solo, he has a German last name I'm not even going to attempt. You probably can pronounce it. That you're of German heritage.
I don't know.
I didn't know that I was going to like him as Han Solo.
Well, he got a lot of bad press.
He did. He had to go in the middle of filming to get acting lessons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why. You know, maybe they were trying to get him to be more like Harrison. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's possible too.
So, but he did a great job, and I came away feeling like, yeah, I can see him playing Han Solo in future films.
I agree.
He did a great job.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think they were able to, whatever they did, they were able to capture it. It definitely was a little sillier, but I think it was sillier on par with New Hope.
Yeah.
I think it hit those same
notes. But you know, they backed it down.
No, I know. Way I know.
Over the edge, and
I'm aware
like,
of
this
that.
This is too funny. And apparently it was starting to feel a little too Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they walked that back because I think it had just enough.
Yeah, just enough humor.
I think it would have had, like, the thing is that, you know, it's so weird because Star Wars itself has kind of grown past anything anybody could have expected it to possibly be. And so it's hard to, you know, we are very loyal to episodes, you know, 4, 5, and 6. And I feel like that's kind of a thing with a lot of our fans anyway. And so we feel like as long as that's your core, as long as that's what, as long as you base your story around being true to that as much as possible, then we're okay. And it's when you try to go too far somewhere is when we're not. I don't know.
Well, there are a couple of things.
And
I
Guardians
wanted,
would be too much.
It is. There were a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. We're going to start spoiling it a little bit, guys.
So, oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
This is your spoiler alert.
Woo.
There's a droid in this film that people have said is the new Jar Jar. And
no!
I think that is being super unfair.
No.
She's awesome. And then I've heard, you know, even Joe and Chris and I talked on the Star Wars Stacks.
Oh, really?
About this. It's probably going to come out soon. But Joe was saying that he's had his fill of angry droids, like of sarcastic, angry droids. There's a line. There's
I don't
no
think
more.
She was angry.
She was awesome in a different way. I think she was the
she
most...
She was sort of sassy.
She was sassy and feminine. That's the difference, I think, that was awesome.
I agree.
She even had a sway when she walked.
And, like, I'm back and forth on how I feel about this, but I think now that she's downloaded into the Falcon, everybody calling the Falcon she...
Yeah.
It, and when Han and Lando talk so emotionally about the Millennium Falcon, they're not just talking about the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
They're also talking about the droid. And so... Because also in this universe, the droids are part of who every day.
Yeah.
They're part of your everyday world and you have emotional connections with them. The very first people you meet in the very first scene of New Hope is who?
R2.
3PO. And 3PO. Yeah. Yes. And so that's how you connect. That's how we connect to the movie. And so I think to have a droid... I do think that maybe how the other directors were handling it might have gone too far.
Yeah.
I think they may have taken the, like, sexual innuendo and all of that too far. I think Ron Howard was able to look at it because he's a master. You know, he was able to clean up whatever mess they had, which we'll never see. And so we can only imagine.
Yeah.
He was able to go, okay, keep this, toss this, keep this, toss this. And he kept just enough so that you had a little bit of humor. But then he was able to make sure that it worked. And the scene, you want to talk about that? It was one of the most enjoyable scenes I've seen on TV.
Oh, yes. The one, okay, there's a scene where L337's in the co-pilot seat.
Yeah.
And Kira's behind her in one of the jump seats. And they have a chick talk.
Yeah, they like have a girl moment. Okay. And to be fair, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test because they're talking about a dude, but it's pretty funny because they're trying to talk about Han and then the way in which the droid talks about, well, Lando, you know, he's in love with me. I love that. Like, the look on Emilia Clarke's face is priceless, where she's like, oh, yeah, probably.
Like,
yeah,
what?
You're right. I mean, it's so cute. It was, it's cute.
Yeah.
And
she was like, how would that even work? Oh, trust
I
me.
I have to admit, I have a confession.
What?
I love all of my genre stuff and think it's cool. And I know that Emilia Clarke is very famously the mother of dragons or whatever. And even though I'm not like, I can't bring myself to watch Game of Thrones. I respect that it exists, and I love me some Jason Momoa, so I'm cool with all of it and the costumes and her, but I guess because she's such a huge part of Game of Thrones, I, like, have this thing about crossing too many lines, and the thing is that, like, obviously we have Ian McKellen is in X-Men, and so is Picard, you know, so is Patrick Stewart. And so
Voss
we have,
was Vision.
Yes, and Voss was Vision. Yeah. So we do have that, but for some reason, when it's like a minor character's crossing, it doesn't bother me. But having like such a, I mean, she's like the main, one of the main characters in Game of Thrones. Being in a Star Wars movie, I was just like, isn't there somebody else? Like, I was a little annoyed. It has nothing to do with her. I just thought there's a Hollywood's worth of women. I have some friends out there doing their best, trying to make it. You know, some of them have made it, by the way. And I'm like, isn't there somebody else that could make this movie? But I was pleasantly surprised. She was cute. She was good. She did her job.
I had no idea that she was in Game of Thrones.
Oh, seriously?
I had no idea. I don't care.
We need to get you out more.
She's great. I don't watch that show.
But still,
a
Hollywood's full of actresses.
I have no interest in it.
But a Hollywood's full of actresses.
Well, they picked
And they had to pick the Mother of Dragons. Anyway.
Look, they had to have some big names.
But I'm not...
If you think about it...
I'm not saying she was bad.
I know, but whenever they did the original trilogy, they had to pull in some big names to make this film...
I know.
I mean, that film worth watching to people who had no idea what the heck was going on. So that's kind of what they did with this, I think. They had to pull some big names in to make people come that maybe were not as
I also
passionate
really like,
about Star Wars as we are.
And that's fair. And the thing is that is like the pickiest thing. But I can't be the only one who thinks about that stuff. That's why we talk about
Here's
this on
thing.
Anomaly.
Yes.
So you know that you're not the only one out there who thinks of these weird, petty things.
There's a you're weird, petty thing. I have a weird
go,
petty thing.
Go ahead.
I kind of voiced my,
who
my
I wanna know.
Angst about it on the Star Wars stacks. And I was met with crickets because the guys were just kind of like, what you're talking about. Is it just me? Or did this soundtrack not sound Star Wars enough? I mean, like,
it
sounded like they drew in some of the original soundtrack in certain specific areas. But there was nothing new in this track that will make me go, oh, that's when Han was on the train. And, you know, because I could do that. I could be listening to the soundtrack and know exactly what was going on in that scene when that piece was playing. But in this film, a lot of it sounded generic.
Hmm.
And so it just, I thought it was good. I'm just saying it didn't feel Star Wars to me.
I guess I see your point. I think the only thing I have to say to that is that, like, in 1976, 77, a Han Solo theme was created. Like, the Han Solo theme existed already. Like, when Han Solo saves the day, like, was written in the 70s, and so that's what they used, and they built the score around that so that that could be the pinnacle instead of writing something new.
I've never had an experience where I come away from it going, I didn't feel like that was immersive enough. The music wasn't immersive enough. But anyway, that's just a silly thing.
We all get something.
And then one other minor thing, because we always have to have this, you know, little things that
that's
us,
I complained about Emilia Clarke, and I she's fine actress.
The
I
only
no
other minor thing is that I want to see recognizable aliens that we know from the former film.
I agree.
Keep inventing freaking aliens.
They do.
Let's go back to some, you know,
like for instance,
Twi'leks. There's only one Twi'lek that's like an Easter egg.
For instance, they had this perfect opportunity. The pilot, the original pilot of the guys that picked up, he talks about going and starting a cantina, and he kind of looks like Maz. Why didn't he look exactly like Maz? Why didn't they have someone exactly Maz's?
Even dip into
the newer movies. Like, why not make that connection and just do it for real instead of
inventing more and more?
No, I agree with that. I do agree with
that.
The
exception to that is the droids. There were gonk droids.
Yes.
There were interpreter droids. There are all kinds of droids that we've seen in all the movies.
And that's a good point. I really like how they worked in the beginning of the rebellion to the story. So not just about Han's, not beginning, but like supporting the rebellion and how the rebellion is coming together. And I absolutely adore the casting of the leader of
the Marauders.
The Marauders.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about her. I just, like, thought she was awesome. But there was just something about her energy that was just so perfect.
Yeah.
For what they were trying to do. Also, we got to see an actual no makeup Ewok.
Oh, Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis. Yeah. Okay, I was. I'm sorry. My brain is like so fried. I worked a lot this weekend.
We're tired. It's like
we're hot and tired. But we got to see a no makeup Warwick Davis.
Yeah, and he had a speaking part.
That was really
just a couple lines, but
that was awesome. Good for him. That was very cool.
So the big reveal. The big reveal.
Yeah.
Angela kind of looked at me like, what the crap?
Well, no, I knew about that, though.
Oh, you knew he was around?
Like, I knew that he was around.
Okay.
So I knew enough about it because we've watched part of Clone Wars. Clone Wars? Yeah.
Yeah, he was
We've watched part of Clone Wars, and we've watched some of Rebels, but just not all of it all the way through. So I'm, like, aware
that he's around.
And, I knew who,
I'm sorry.
Forrest Whitaker? In Rogue One.
Oh, yes. He was in Clone Wars.
He's in Clone Wars. Yeah. So I knew, I was aware of all of that. And so I knew also that somehow Darth Maul had, like, come back.
Yes.
Somehow. And there was some sort of thing with him and Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Rebels. Right.
I won't get, don't talk.
Right.
You guys, just go watch. If you're
Oh, sorry.
Darth Maul is in this. If you're just listening to us and you haven't seen the movie yet, that's the big reveal, is Darth Maul is in this. And if you're going to be surprised that he's in this, go watch the Clone Wars, the last couple of seasons of the Clone Wars, and watch Rebels. And if you can't watch all of Rebels, watch the last season of Rebels.
Yeah.
The last two seasons, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm aware that he exists and that he's back or whatever he's doing. I mean, I know that he's, like, around. So it wasn't, like, a huge shock to me that he was there, but I was just like, oh, okay, well, how does this work into this character?
I love that.
But I don't know.
He's in a crime syndicate.
Yeah. Well,
but
is
motivation.
He runs it.
He is the leader of Red Dawn, which, think about it,
Red Dawn.
So.
See, that's interesting because I got the impression that she was basically just working for somebody else totally, and that's why she was contacting. Well, you're right.
Because at the beginning of the film, when they were being separated in that on Corellia, where the stormtroopers were taking her away, right before that she was like, we could be sold to Red Dawn, or, you know, she was saying, we won't be protected, we could be sold, this could happen to us, and we could be sold into Red Dawn, which is
what happens to her.
Yeah, she's branded with the, she was a slave that kind of, I guess, worked her way into,
you gotta do what you gotta do,
upper echelons.
Well, that's the thing too, is it's also, they don't say exactly, but she kills that guy pretty handily.
That was awesome. And we get to see a vibroblade.
Oh, we did! We got to see a vibroblade. That's so awesome. Yeah. From Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. I remember that. No, but the other thing about it is that, like, they sort of insinuate, well, as soon as he meets her again and they start working together or whatever they're doing, there's a lot of insinuation that in order for her to be in the position that she's in, a lot of crap has gone down in the last few years. She even says, you know, you don't want to know me anymore. You wouldn't look at me like that. That was heartbreaking to me when she said that. And it's like, so it's insinuated that that she's been up to some shady stuff. And maybe not all of her own making, but she's just doing what she needs to do to survive. And that's fair.
That's basically what she said. She said, it's not about winning. It's about staying in the game.
So it's also kind of, again, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Thinking of Han. And then also I love this idea that they put forth in this movie. That Han is a good guy. At the end of the day, you know, he's just this scoundrel, and you're always like, well, why does he come back? Or, you know, if he's a scoundrel, or if he's going to shoot first, if he's working for these crime, you know, this crime family or whatever, who is he really? And I kind of like the idea that they're setting up, you know, the basis of Han, you know, wanting to always be able to be a scoundrel, but not really, just not having the heart to.
Yeah.
Like when they were talking and Kira was talking to the Marauder, and she just said, he's going to try to help you.
He's going to try to help you.
And it's just like, oh, I like how the whole thing played out. I really do. Because it wasn't clean at all. Like, it wasn't clean.
No.
But it was good in its uncleanliness, I guess.
What about the costumes? What did you think of the costumes?
Oh, I thought the costumes were really good. The only issue I have is almost related to your alien thing. Is that, like, okay, we get it. There's a bunch of different people and aliens. There's a and so it's really it goes more along with that than the actual costuming. I mean, I really like how they costumed all of the people. Mm-hmm. You know,
the capes
and the capes. There was ridiculous amount of capes, but I think that was almost a joke.
That's the
joke. You know, it's part of the thing, and I and I like how they did. The casting and costuming on Lando was just so amazing. Donald Glover just like blew my mind. That presence that Billy Dee brings is just like,
what do we have here?
What do we have here?
The little hand kiss that he has, where he kisses her hand, he does basically the same thing to Leia.
Oh, he does.
When he comes and sees her, you
hello,
know,
Leia.
Quarters that she and Han has. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny.
It was great. I love the chase scenes. I think that's the first time we've ever seen a land speeder chase scene.
Oh, yeah.
And Rey's speeder bike is similar to the one the stormtrooper, the biker
was
riding in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. There's another thing that I just remembered that they covered, and it's something that they allude to in the other movies, and I just forgot about it. It's not the bet, because we all know that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Okay. I'll figure it out.
Well, the books...
I'll post about it later. Go ahead.
If y'all are curious at all about the EU and Han Solo in the EU...
Oh! Sorry, I just remembered.
Oh, go ahead.
The Kessel Run.
Yes!
That's what I mean! Yeah. That's what I was going to tell. I knew it was on the tip of my tongue.
His continuing...
The continuing...
It's
Kessel Run and
12 parsecs.
Yeah, if you're ran down.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was going to say, if you want to know about Han Solo in the EU, read A.C. Crispin's Han Solo trilogy. We covered that a couple of years ago on the Star Wars Stacks, and we had all read it years before, but they cover kind of like where Han came from, and a lot of that kind of was nodded to in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the Kessel Run is in that book, and explained by A.C. Crispin in that book how it works. The Maw is in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff about Han Solo's background and who's, I can't think of it.
Woody Harrelson?
Yes, thank you. I'm so tired.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson, his character is kind of a spinoff of a character from the EU.
Okay.
Also. It's not exactly the same, but it's all kind of been used as like inspiration for the characters in these books.
And I feel so stupid because it's so obvious. Is also, we got some moments that were fun to see, which was Han and Chewie like forming their relationship.
Yeah.
And then also Han seeing, you know, the Falcon for the first time.
Yes.
So that's kind of a neat, and then the two of them being in the cockpit together for the first time. Those things are kind of neat to
see. I also loved that the Falcon is all dinged up and crapped out
because of the Maw.
Did you notice the front end of the Millennium Falcon was just completely intact and tapered, and then by the end of it there's a big chunk missing out of the middle.
Yes.
I did notice
that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
One other thing about L337, I think I'm saying her name right.
Mm-hmm.
When she's downloaded into the computer, in the EU, there are, I think, 3 droid brains that the Millennium Falcon has.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always arguing with one another.
Ah!
So they have this sarcastic, snarky droid in the movie now, who is the droid brain of the Millennium Falcon. And Joe was making up the point that it was kind of crappy that they, without her permission, downloaded her into the computer, and here she was, all about droid rights and wanting to be independent and free, and they downloaded her into the computer without her permission. I was like, but she's free as a bird now. Free bird.
True. So, and it may not be her consciousness.
What's left of her.
It's just her navigation system. But she is, her essence is probably
her
still
essence.
There.
And she's allowed to continue on now instead of just being gone forever.
That's true. That's true.
Living on as the Millennium Falcon. It's awesome. So we are giving it thumbs up.
Oh yeah, we're definitely giving
it
thumbs
up.
Go
watch it. I think I'm going to be on Rico's show on Friday to talk about it. Hopefully our show will be up by then. Are you going to be on it?
I wasn't looking at the spoilers in that thread. I didn't know that there wasn't spoilers. And also, I worked 18 hours the past 2 days, so that's another reason why I haven't looked. So, yes, if I can, if I have the time, I will do it.
I'm just telling the people I'm going to be on there.
Oh, okay.
I would, like, ask you if you want
to. I know that I was probably asked. I just haven't looked at the thread.
Yeah, so it's going to be on Friday this coming week. So, listen to the Star Wars stacks and to Treks and Sci-Fi also.
Yep.
That's it.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah. Give us your thoughts. Write in. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd like to hear from you.
We would.
You can do that by emailing us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or you can call our Google voicemail line at 432-363-4742. And check out our website.
Yes, anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Yay! I'll take you to your car. Where are you parked?
Actually, I'm right there, so.
Oh, look at you.
I'm good. Well, it was actually worked out because those buses were, like, blocking me in anyway.
I'll just take you right out.
Those buses were blocking me in anyway, so I wouldn't have been able to leave when we popped out here. And of course, there was like one other car that was right in front of me. So, anyway.
All right.
Hopefully, I can get the boys out to see it. I like this little car.
Oh, thank you.
It's cute.
See you later. Definitely better.